I'm Simon Miller, and this is a Pin Podcast. Oh.
What is going on, guys? My name is Austin. Welcome to Pinned, a pro wrestling podcast. And joined with me, as always, is my good buddy Chad. Chad, how's it going?
What's up, guys? Hello, Austin. I'm good. I missed you, buddy.
I missed you too.
From last week.
My
old co-host was a dick.
You don't say. Yeah. I was going to say, like, Jim Cornette, that's a fucking big get. And I was concerned, honestly, like, with my absence, that you weren't going to be able to carry the reins and hold on to the show yourself. But
I mean, it was all Jim Cornette.
First off, you get the big get of Jim Cornette, and then second off, man, you just fucking carried that show. Yeah. I don't know what I was worried about. I shouldn't have been worried at all.
Jim, if you're listening, you know, thank you for coming on and talking with me. It was a good time. Sorry, things got a little heated. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. You know, if you ever come back on, we'll have a beer. We'll have a great time.
Why do I feel like if we ever try to get Jim Cornette on the show, then he'll fucking see that, and then all of a sudden he'll be like, you know what? No.
I mean, Jim Cornette has already been on the show. If we ever get him on a second time?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. It's been a rough week. Midterms went good. I felt comfortable with it. That's not what's on my mind right now. As you can tell, I know Chad's hiding it very well. I'm still kind of a bit shaken up a little bit with this week's WWE. I think this quite possibly is one of the most shocking events in pro wrestling, especially for WWE.
You just want to jump in?
Let's just jump into
in the illustrious Anmore Media Studios, of
absolutely,
course.
Yes. We're here, and we got Grant joining us with us, as always, at the editing booth. There's no real beating around the bush about it. This week's Raw kind of smacked us in the face with some absolutely heartbreaking news. And that was the news that Roman Reigns coming out and being forced to relinquish his Universal Championship due to the fact that he has leukemia. Well, he's had leukemia for 11 years, and it has returned, and he's no longer able to fulfill his duties as the Universal Champion and has to go away and has to fight cancer. This was something I had never expected, because I had no idea that Roman or Joe...
Who could have expected that?
Yeah, who could have expected that he had cancer?
And apparently only like 5 people knew that night. The commentators didn't even know. Triple H knew, Vince knew, and some other execs.
I think maybe Seth...
Seth and Dean didn't even know.
Oh, they didn't even know,
man. From what I'm being told, Roman told Triple H, Vince, and some other execs. And they were the only ones that knew.
Jeez, man.
From what I've read and heard.
Whatever the case, man. It's just a bomb being dropped on us. Yeah. And
I was here recording. We were I was doing an episode of Outlast, and then it's over with. Me and Grant are just kind of hanging out, and then all of a sudden you messaged me and was like, Roman Reigns has leukemia, and I'm like, what? And I looked it up, and I was like, holy... And I literally was here. I was like, Grant, holy fuck, Roman Reigns has cancer.
And
I literally just kept saying it over and over again. I didn't know what to say or do. I didn't know. Kept telling Grant, I have no idea what to say.
Yeah, it's one of those things. This should have never happened. I understand. Here's the thing. And, this is something I'm sure, whether you love Roman Reigns, the character, or whether you hate Roman Reigns, the character, no man should ever have to stop doing the job they love because of cancer, or any disease for that matter. This is some heartbreaking shit that, I'm still, in complete shock that this is even happening, because this shouldn't happen. And, fucking Roman Reigns, Joe Anoa'i or Roman Reigns, fucking get well soon, man. We want to see you back here. We want to see the big dog fucking come back to his yard after kicking out of cancer and fucking giving that thing the 1-2 punch of a Superman punch and a spear. 1-2-3. Roman Reigns has defeated cancer, and we want to see you back in that ring to reclaim that Universal title.
I just want him in the ring. I just want to see it. I just want him to be okay.
I want him to be okay, man, too.
You know, his promo. I probably watched that promo back a good 10 times.
Last I checked, the video that was released to YouTube of Roman walking to the back and being greeted by Vince and Triple H and all of the guys back has over 9 million views in a day. Yeah.
Even ESPN broke the story.
Absolutely, I mean, that's the thing, too, this is just for something like this to happen. It transcends sports. Mm-hmm. It transcends entertainment. A pro athlete has cancer that he had back when he was 22 years old, and it comes back as he's the champion, and he's forced to leave, give up his title, and is greeted by his brothers in the Shield as Seth and Dean greeted them at him at the ramp. Seth with tears in his eyes, man, and like
Seth is what almost got me. Like, I was tearing up.
When Roman was talking,
I kind of got teary eyed. But when I saw Seth like just bawling, it choked me up a little.
Yeah, man, it's like yeah, that's the thing, man.
He comes out in his street clothes. He's got the title. And everyone's booing him because, like, you know, that's per the usual. If I was there, I would have booed him. The announcers are putting over the fact that he's competing at Crown Jewel. He's defending the title because, again, the announcers didn't know.
Yeah, no one knew.
He gets in the ring. And he says, like, you know, I want to apologize. I'm supposed to be a fighting champ. And then he just goes on this giant spiel about how he's got leukemia and he's had it when he was 22. And when he was 22, he didn't have, like, a house. He didn't have a car, money. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a
football
baby.
Football was done with him. He had a baby on the way.
And then WWE gave him a chance, and it was a really good story. And
And that's the thing, too. He said, no matter if you cheered me or if you booed me, you gave me a reaction, which was which meant the world to me.
And I don't think he's ever getting booed again.
No, I mean, that's the thing, too, is that
it sucks that this is what got him over.
Yeah, it's like, it's a real fucking weird situation, but, like, the story of Roman Reigns, man, I'm like, that. This is one of the most interesting... Like, no matter if people want to, like, shit all over Roman Reigns as the character or how much people shitted on him over the time, the story of Roman Reigns as a character has been one of the most fascinating things to watch in pro wrestling over the last few years. Just the overall development of, like, just, like I would say going back from when they first debuted as The Shield and they were fucking, and then when they got white hot before they broke up, and then when Seth turned on The Shield, leading to Roman winning the 2014 Royal Rumble, and that iconic moment of The Rock raising his hand and the crowd booing the shit out of him and The Rock being dumbfounded, to Roman Reigns losing the WWE Championship after Seth cashed in. Like, there's been so many moments with Roman Reigns, and again, most of them have been filled with a lot of boos, but, like, at the same time, man, it's a John Cena thing. It's like nobody gets a reaction like Roman Reigns, but I can tell you right now, like, I'm imagining Roman comes back, because I don't imagine him losing to this. Because if any man was to beat cancer, it would be Roman fucking Reigns.
I mean, you have to stay positive.
You have to, absolutely.
He's going to come back. I'm quite confident that he will fight. He'll come back healthy, and he'll come back and do what he does, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, too. Like, again, it sucks that this is what it took to get him over. But I think when he comes back, he's probably going to be the most popular wrestler. I mean, how could you not be?
Remember, this reminds me of when Triple H had to leave from an injury. For tearing his quad. And when he returned, and the ovation that he received when he returned was something that you could only, like if you were there, the building was shaking.
Yeah.
When Roman Reigns comes back, that crowd is going to lose their mind.
The entire arena was chanting, "Thank you, Roman." Like, and, I mean, it already started. He's already cheered. Like, I really don't think, unless he turns heel, like, I don't think he will ever get booed again.
Imagine if he turned heel after the crowd finally started cheering for him.
It'd be some WCW shit.
That would really be. Like, it would really be. Yeah, either way, man, it's like, Roman Reigns, like, we want to thank you sincerely for everything that you've done, despite the hostile reaction that a lot of hardcore fans have given you. And I
boo the fuck out of
him. And I know, like, I've criticized Roman Reigns, the character, and the booking of Roman Reigns multiple times on this show. I know Chad has gone on record saying that if he was at a show, he would boo the shit out of Roman Reigns. I booed the shit out of Roman Reigns at multiple shows.
I mean, I don't like Roman Reigns, a character, but I like
the man seems like a genuinely good...
But I like Joe the man. Yeah. He seems like a very nice guy.
100%.
That is a very sad thing.
One thing I will recommend to people, that if you want to see Roman Reigns as, like, a genuine, like, fucking cool person, it's a weird video, but watch on Up, Up, Down, Down. They were playing Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. It was Xavier, Kofi, Seth, and Roman. And Roman was fucking, like, he was, like, just... He was showing off his charisma. He was being funny. He was being, like... And he was kicking ass, too, at the game,
and that's
too.
That's something I want to touch upon, too. Trying to kind of loop this back into wrestling kind of thing, too. The promo he gave, I can't imagine they wrote that for him.
No.
And when he's talking from the heart, he's a decent promo.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very good promo. You know, it's almost like, you know, I kind of wish we could have saw more of these promos from Roman Reigns when he's talking from the heart, like they do on the indies, instead of, like, you know, WWE writing him a horrible fucking promo. Like,
oh no, it's like,
I think if you would have let him be his own person, I think his ability would have been really...
That goes with all the wrestlers, though. That goes for everybody on the roster, because there's so many guys that, like, need to be able to write their own stuff. And that's just something that's been a problem with WWE for a very long time. Like, it's just something that needs to change in there in terms of like not having their writing staff write everything for them. But that's besides the point. But I mean, once again, just thank you, Roman. Thank you for everything you've done.
You had wrestlers from all over the world reaching out to him.
Like, we had Ring of Honor, New Japan, and multiple independents like tweet out their support for Roman Reigns. This transcended professional wrestling. No matter what side people were on, we had Kenny Omega tweeting out his support. Like this was a moment where like the barriers came down, everybody banded together in support of one man who's in a very, very dark place right now, and we want nothing but support and love and prayers for this man, because Roman Reigns, man, I want to see you back. I want to see you come back, and we're going to see you
back. Yeah, we'll see you back.
Yeah.
And then you can headline whatever WrestleMania you want when you come back.
Yeah, and it's like, just kick Brock's ass if he wins the goddamn title.
Oh, that's not happening.
No.
No. I will eat this potted plant if... Actually, no, I already put me eating a potted plant on the line of different podcasts. I will eat Grant's headphones.
Okay.
If Brock wins the title at Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
Which, you know, speaking of pay-per-views, Evolution is this Sunday. No one would have fucking knew because they didn't do anything to pump it up. Like, it was all about Crown Jewel.
Yeah, of course. And like,
I feel like they barely touched upon Evolution.
I am beyond pissed off right now about Evolution. I mean, like, for God's sakes, man. Like, you're talking about, like, let's go back to that moment when Vince McMahon, Triple H brought the entire women's division out onto the stage to announce about the first ever women's pay-per-view, and like just the idea of the kind of matches that we could see for that show. And like, let me just run down. We got a 6-man tag match between Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natalya versus the Riot Squad. So once again, we've got Bayley and Sasha teaming when they should be facing each other. Just returning back to the fact of why the fuck did they go through counseling? Why the fuck are they not feuding?
To be fair, I feel like the Battle of Best Friends is already taken. I feel like it would feel really repetitive if they were having that on Raw 2.
Okay, yeah, I understand that, and then, like, I understand too, like, why they're teaming and stuff like that. And I
still think it's a waste of their ability.
It is a waste of their ability to be placed in a 6-man match. Again, I still believe that the proper way for the Sasha and Bayley and Becky, I think Becky and Charlotte's placement on the card is good, and I think they're gonna do really, really great, and I have no complaints about that. But I would prefer for that goddamn four horsewoman fatal four way.
I mean, Ronda Rousey, Sasha Banks writes itself. I'll just say that
100%.
I still don't think Nikki Ronda.
Yeah, Nikki Ronda. Because like, I mean, that's the thing is like, I understand like it's like people, and I know the Bella twin hate is like now. It could be brought full circle because now people can boo the Bellas because they're heels and stuff like that. And of course, the reality stars, but Ronda Rousey is the fighter. And I think Nikki Bella as a heel is a good spot because I think Nikki can play a good heel. She's just genuinely like, you can hate her. It's like, I think it's just a really good role for her to play. The Bellas have played well as heels in the past. But of course, they're also reality stars, and they're also trying to bring this positivity for women and girl and little girls and stuff like that. It's a weird situation.
Yeah.
And I was like torn with the whole like the only like door you're walking through is like through John Cena's bedroom or something like that, or like some sort of like.
I thought that was really funny.
It was funny, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, here we go with like the women feud where it's all wrapped around a guy and like where he's like taking a stab. It's like it's just kind of a weird situation, and like I just feel like. I don't know. I'm not 100% against it, but again, at the same time, I'm just kind of like, there could be something more to this. Now, with the Women's Battle Royal, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I mean, what is it even for anything?
No, it's not. It's just a Battle Royal. Not even for anything. It's just a Battle Royal.
I wouldn't have a problem with the Battle Royal if it was mostly, like, NXT women or, like, legends, but, like, there are a lot of women in that Battle Royal that are being wasted. Asuka, Ember Moon, Nia Jax, Carmella. Like, really? Why are they in this?
Oh, no. And, like, what I love the most, too, was just, like, all of the fucking women who were just tweeting out kind of, like, gifs of, like, the response to the Battle Royal announcement. Because for a women's pay-per-view, you're putting in a Battle Royal as one of your matches to build up what's supposed to be a historic women's pay-per-view. You're putting in a Battle Royal. Like, come on. Try a little harder.
Like, And I understand, like, you know what? I don't understand. Why the fuck is there not a one-night-only women's tag team title tournament?
Yeah,
you could have had Bayley, you could have Sasha, you could have any women you want. Throw them in a team.
Yeah, just have it be like a women's tag team invitational, and then like you win a trophy or a tag team.
You win the tag titles.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
The tag titles could be multi-branded. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who gives a shit? There's like it can be multi-branded. Yeah. It's like,
and then instead of all those women being wasted in a battle royal, they could be used. They could be in a tournament, and then you could get so many like really cool matchups. Like you could have like Nia Jax and Tamina team up. You could have some of the legends like Tori Wilson and like Carmella could team up. Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You could have a lay cool reunion.
Exactly.
Like, all these things.
Imagine.
Like, I'm not like, I feel like a gerbil could book this shit better. Like,
it's like,
why am I thinking of this? I don't get paid millions of dollars to write this shit.
If this was supposed to be such a big deal, why the fuck is it just feel so like?
They need to fire whoever is booking this pay-per-view.
No, it's like, well, here's the thing too. There's also, they need to get their heads out of their asses and stop fucking focusing so much on a Crown Jewel pay-per-view that we don't even know if it's gonna fucking go
on. It's gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen in Saudi Arabia. At least, like, it better fucking not.
It better fucking not, yeah. But like, this is also like a thing. It's like Trish Stratus and Lita versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. So you're gonna get Trish and Lita, two of the biggest like rivalries in women's wrestling history, and they're gonna team together.
See, I'm okay with that.
I understand that Mickie James is there, and Trish and Mickie had a thing too where they faced off, and like their rivalry is pretty big too. Mm-hmm. And also Alexa Bliss is also like, she needs a good spot.
But even then, I would much rather see Alexa Bliss, Trish Stratus 1-on-1. And then, like, Lita, Sasha Banks.
Yeah, why can't we have, like, how long is this pay-per-view even gonna fucking be if you're gonna fucking waste time with a battle royal? You could take that battle royal out and put, like, two or three more matches there. Instead of just throwing, look at all the women we have.
Like, I don't even have a problem with a battle royal if...
if it was for something.
Yeah, if they made it for something.
Yeah, but it's not.
Or, like, I don't know. I'm not looking for, like, I want to be super excited for Evolution. Because I think Becky Lynch and Charlotte's gonna be a really good match, but that's and that's honestly the only match I'm really looking forward to.
And this is not taking a stab either at the women on the card. Of course, it's just WWE's inability.
It's the way they're booking it.
How the fuck can you not book this match, this pay per view card to be like just like it's like this shouldn't even be hard.
No.
It's like you have all these...
you got so many phenomenal wrestlers on that roster.
And so many great possibilities for matches and like stuff like that. And
literally,
yet...
you could make the entire match about dream matches if you wanted to.
Sure.
Lay Cool versus Iconics. Bam. That would sell... That'd buy the paper for me.
I would fucking love that match. Yeah. But like, I don't know.
Kelly, Carmella. Bang.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll start rattling them off. Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, there's plenty to think of. And I wanted to talk to you too, moving over to Crown Jewel, because I heard your conversation that you had with Jim Cornette about Crown Jewel. I know for a fact that this isn't confirmed. In fact, Sid texted me this. Sydney texted this to me. And I don't, and again, there's no fully confirmation about this. We have no idea about the real, about what's real and what's not. But like, apparently, like the whether or not this show is going to be in Saudi Arabia isn't even in the WWE's hands, and like basically it's in the US government's hands to be like whether or not they okay the WWE to go to Saudi Arabia to do this show, and then whether or not they choose that will determine whether or not they will perform there. And then apparently the other arena that's floating around that it may take place in is in New York, and again there's like no confirmation on that. I don't even know what her source was for that. So like take that with a major grain of salt. That's just something that she texted me. So I thought it would be a good idea to bring up as like a possibility topic to talk on the show. I will say though, if that was to be true and the fate of Crown Jewel being in Saudi Arabia rested in our U.S. government, God, do I fucking wish Vince had the choice instead.
I mean, I guess the overarching, because like, okay, if that's true, and the government gets the deciding factor on whether or not we go to Saudi Arabia, they're going to say no. But to that point, why the fuck should the government make that decision? It's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
It does not take a brilliant man to decide, now maybe we shouldn't go there. You know, like, it's not like it's something minor. They fucking murdered people.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go?
I'm still really confused as to why we went in the first place.
Like, yeah, that crowd was shit. The crowd was rude. What wasn't the Saudi Arabia like officials who were running that show like assholes? Like,
I don't even remember. Like it was just it was fucking.
They don't want women there. They're assholes. Like and now this whole conspiracy. Like at least from what I've heard, that the crowd was not good when I went there. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong. Fair enough.
But I like, don't know.
Why would you go there?
The show was just weird, and it wasn't in a good way. It was just really weird for John Cena to like be like very like the fact that like I don't know if you saw this fucking John Oliver mentioned the fact of the WWE show in Saudi Arabia and how it was like really fucking weird. How it was like almost as if it was trying to promote it as a tourist destination. It was like. It's weird. It's like something like I understand Australia. I understand because it's like it's a market that you want to work in. And it's a market that you can make a good amount of money in too. Saudi Arabia though, that's a fucking handbasket that you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
And like the fact that we're still in the middle of this is just like, why? It's like I don't like it. Just it should. And now the fact that they know that it's a problem and they're dancing around it by not even saying the name.
John Cena and Daniel Bryan have said we're not going if it's in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, like, your two top stars tell you we're not going. One of them is fighting for the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to book your way around that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the ghost of Daniel Bryan showed up to fight for the title.
I mean, they've barely promoted it. They could probably put in fucking Samoa Joe again and no one would notice.
I mean, they've been promoted it more than Evolution.
True.
But like, yeah, the fact that they're dancing around it knows they know how they need to not go. But they're either they're stubborn or they can't make the decision yet.
Vince is dumb enough to where I think Vince McMahon would go, nah, damn it, I'm Vince McMahon. We're going.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Saudi Arabia. And that's when, to quote a good friend of mine, Vince McMahon is the biggest fucking idiot I've ever seen in my entire dadgum life.
How the fuck did he get on the show again?
Jim, you're back. Not for long, motherfuckers. I'm leaving again. All right, well, bye. He must have left his coat or something here.
I didn't even hear him open the door. I just heard the door shut.
Oh, man, he's a sneaky man.
We need to fucking fix that hole in the wall where he apparently can just shout into.
Yeah. You know, for an illustrious studio, there sure is a lot of holes that Jim Cornette could hide in.
Yeah, did he just make a hole in the wall when he was here last week? I didn't hear the full story about it.
Well, he came in here and, you know, basically told me to basically said, fuck you, bye. And then, like, took, like, a sledgehammer and, like, bashed holes in the wall. And I was like, Jim, there's a door right there. And he was like, nah, fuck your door. And they'll, Jim.
I'm surprised he used a sledgehammer and not a tennis racket.
Oh, his tennis racket, he actually left, he left in his car.
Really?
Yeah, he was so angry with Mount Pleasant traffic that he left his tennis racket in a huff.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
No, but obviously there's one other big piece of WWE news that I know is something that we should talk about, and that's how the Monday Night Raw show ended, which was with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre facing off against.
Do you want to talk about the big heel turn, or do you want to cover the little mini face turn with Elias first?
I guess we could cover that too, yeah.
Because besides these next couple of things, there was really nothing to Raw. I mean, Finn Balor beat Bobby Lashley with a roll-up, and then there was a lot of shitty Evolution build-up.
Which I thought it was really weird considering the fact that Bobby just turned heel and then Finn already got a clean roll-up. I know they wanted the crowd to be kind of picked up a little bit after that fucking slap to the face of, oh, Roman has cancer.
Yeah.
I know they needed a good pick-me-up moment in order to get the crowd popped.
Just because the main event wasn't doing it.
Yeah, the main event sure as hell wasn't going to do it. But I don't know. It's just kind of a weird situation for Bobby to lose already. But Finn definitely needed a win, so, I mean, I guess that's good. But, yeah, Elias had a match against Apollo Crews where he lost, and then he walked to the back, and he was going to do another song, but Baron Corbin came out and mocked him, saying that if it wasn't for him, for Stephanie McMahon being entertaining, thinking that... that Elias was entertaining, then he would have fired him a long time ago. They went back and forth a little bit, and then Elias walked to the back. Baron Corbin started talking more shit, and then Elias comes back, hits him over the head with the guitar.
And we get a face turn Elias.
Fucking yes.
I'm ready to walk with face Elias.
Yes, and we already know how over Elias is, so I know for a fact that Elias is going to do great with this.
I think he could be gold as a face.
Like, 100%.
I think he could literally be comedic gold. Like, can you imagine like him just shitting on like whatever authority figure is there, and he just... I think he has potential to be one of the top baby faces.
I do too.
As far as a character goes,
I do think that he's due in line for an Intercontinental title. I think.
Yeah. Speaking of titles and you know turns, Paul Heyman came out, had a really good promo.
He really did.
Talking highly of Roman Reigns, and while talking about Roman Reigns and how strong he was. Also puts over Brock Lesnar because the crown jewel main event is now Brock Braun for the Universal title. And then Braun comes out. Man, I've been hearing, do you think that was a face turn for Braun? Do you think Braun's a face now? Or do you think he's still a heel? I feel like he has to be a face, right?
I don't know, because the main thing is that if you're going to put Brock versus Braun, Braun's going to get cheered because the crowd fucking hates Braun. I mean, Brock. Mm-hmm. The crowd hates Brock with a passion. You need proof of that? Look when he returned to Hell in a Cell. Nobody wanted him there. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So if anybody was to turn face, it would have been Braun. And also because Braun should have never really turned heel in the first place, because they tried to turn him heel in order to get Roman cheered. And it just didn't work.
Because I mean, obviously, you know, their backup plan has always been Braun. Worst case scenario, we'll just push Braun. And now that Roman's gone, I mean, Braun's the guy now.
He is. No, 100% he is.
And I think he knows that, and that's why I think he is a babyface now. Especially because after Braun comes in and, you know, puts himself over, says Brock's gonna get these hands, and then when Roman comes back, he'll give him these hands too. And then Drew McIntyre comes out and hits him with a claymore. Mm-hmm. And I am really excited for McIntyre Braun.
Like, I am too.
That's going to be a really good feud, and
that could be one for the Universal Title too.
And that's the thing. I think it will be. I think we're going to see babyface Braun defending the Universal Title against a heel Drew McIntyre.
And I think that's a match that everybody can get behind, because we know how good Drew can be, and Braun is a monster who fucking works his ass off and has proven himself to be one of the top favorites, despite how bad he's been booked these last couple of weeks. But obviously, with Roman being gone now, Braun turned heel so that he could feud with Roman, but now that Roman's gone, there's no reason for him to be heel, so I would say he's a babyface now. And at least he should be a babyface. If that's not what they're going for, just like full on, just be like, that never happened, and then turned him babyface.
And you look at the dynamic now with the babyfaces and the heels, you know? I mean, there's a heel turn coming that we'll talk about, so we'll put him over on that side. But you look at the top faces now. We've got Seth Rollins, Elias, you could say now, Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. But if we remember correctly, Kevin Owens turned face like literally a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And when he comes back, I think Elias, Braun, and Kevin Owens have the potential to be the big, and I guess Finn too, but they kind of book Finn horribly. Yeah. So we'll take Finn out. I think Braun, KO, and Elias could be the top babyface of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And can we just say, like, if someone would have told you like 3 weeks ago, that on a podcast you would like coming up, I would say that the top three babyfaces of Raw could be KO, Elias, Samson, or Braun. Like,
I would believe Braun, and I would believe Elias. But
at those three, like, they were solidly heels with no point of changing. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing, and like I said, it's like stuff in WWE can change so fast. I want to say real quickly before we head on to the big turn of the night. Because I kind of want to bring it up just because it was something, the whole Brothers of Destruction DX thing.
Oh, God, I was hoping you'd skip it.
No, I kind of want to talk about it just because, like,
because it was a heaping pile of hot garbage.
I haven't gotten to talk about it yet since I've been back. Because I know it's something that irks you. And this one probably irks me a lot more. Because, like,
that
obviously,
irks me?
Not as much as it irks you, but it irked me more than when you were pissed off with Taker coming back for Mania. I wasn't really pissed off because I got to see the entrance, and also just because it was a squash match, so it was like the perfect outcome. With Shawn coming back teaming with Triple H again to be DX, and now they're going to be facing the Brothers of Destruction. I don't want this like so bad. I want like the fact that Shawn is coming back, like, just no. Like, I don't think this match is going to be good. I mean, like, think about it for a second, because Shawn was retired. Hunter is COO. Taker is...
Triple H can still work.
Triple H can still work, yeah, obviously, but, like, Taker should be retired, and Kane is a goddamn fucking mayor, and he's coming back to wrestle. Like, what? Like, everyone's doing their own thing right now. Why are we coming back to refill this nostalgia trip? And they even mentioned in their promo, they know this is all based around nostalgia.
Nostalgia means old, which is just a polite way of saying good. No, nostalgia means old, which is the polite way of saying, kindly get the fuck off my TV screen.
Well, the other thing, too, I did like the fact where nostalgia, Tron thought nostalgia meant some sort of word that meant new merch.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty funny.
That feud's got me in such a bad mood that I think nothing is funny.
Nothing is funny. Everything sucks. And
when
it
comes to that, yes. When it comes to that, like, even the line about Triple H being like, yeah, you go, we'll record that on your lunch break, Kane, in Knox County. Like, even that, which would have made me laugh. Shut up. Like, why is this happening? Get off my screen. Like, mm-hmm. But yeah, Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley had like a 5-minute match, like, to open the show. Mm-hmm. Like, aren't even booked for the pay-per-view. Uh-huh. Like,
but we got the Brothers of Destruction in DX.
Fuck the Brothers of Destruction in DX. Like, kindly get the hell off my TV screen. Yeah. Kindly. Maybe go record at the fairgrounds. The NWA had their anniversary show on.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Kindly go to the fair. No disrespect to the NWA.
Speak of the devil. Okay, real quick, we're going to talk about this, and then we'll talk about that NWA show, because I want to get your opinions on what happened. So, main event... Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler versus Seth and Dean for the Raw Tag Titles. Seth and Dean go over, become the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Seth is double champion.
Yep, he's a double champion now.
And they hug,
and then Dean Ambrose.
Got one for Roman.
And then Dean Ambrose hits the dirty deeds on Seth Rollins, has like a mental crisis in his head as he's like kind of like, because I remember Sid mentioning to me, it's like, it looked like he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Like, he was, like, literally, like, he was just kind of running off of, like, pure instinct and, like, just shit was happening. And then he removes the barricade. I mean, he removes the floor, the padding on the floor on the outside, and hits a dirty deed to Seth on the concrete, screaming, "You did this." Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, what the fuck are we supposed to think of coming after this Raw? Like, Roman has cancer, and Dean turned on Seth. The Shield has... This is the Shield imploding.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm hearing a lot of things on Twitter and social media. And even me, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, brilliant. You know, what a heel capitalizing on raw emotion from a crowd. You're never going to get a more emotional crowd. And then I really thought about it. And to be honest, I don't like it. And here's why. The plan was always for Dean Ambrose to turn heel. But like, they hotshotted it. Like, it was supposed to be a build-up. You know what I mean? This was supposed to be, like, a Survivor Series, like, heel turn. Like, they needed to book it. Can you tell me why he turned on Seth last night, or on Monday? Do you have a reason? Do you think you know why?
Okay, I'll beat you to the punch on that right now, is that, like, because I thought this was really well done. Like you said, it capitalized on the emotion of the crowd instantly and created a moment. And also, Dean Ambrose, I feel like, works really, really well as a heel, and I think we'll do really well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, and like, I feel like them hot-shotting it is probably the best outcome, because I know what they try to do when they try to do long builds for feuds of will they or won't they break up, and it's just a slow build, because we've gotten that with Sasha Bailey, where it's just been a will they, won't they break out and just beat the shit out of each other, even though they have beaten the shit out of each other, but now they're friends again. Like, if that's how they're going to do a slow build to a face-off for, like, a big pay-per-view, fucking I'm super happy they're hot-shotting it with Dean, because they've proven to me that they don't know how to long-term build a fucking feud between best friends or brothers or anything along those lines. So I say them hot-shotting it with what they've shown me in the past with their past booking decisions this year is the best outcome for Dean, and I personally... I'm very happy for it, and I think we'll do wonders.
They should have hot-shotted it to next week. This year, Roman Reigns, Seth and Dean's real-life best friend, your fucking guy, the main guy of your company, announces he has cancer, a life-threatening disease, a real-life life-threatening disease. This is not a gimmick. He has cancer. The entire arena was in tears. Dean and Seth come out to be with their buddy, crying. And this is a real-life sad moment. And they have an opportunity to send the crowd home with at least some form of leaving happy. You know, oh, at least we get to see a heartwarming story where Roman Reigns' friends win the tag team titles the night he relinquishes a title because he has cancer. His best friends win the title. Crowd goes home happy. Instead, you hotshot a story. Dean turns on his best friend for no reason. At the beginning of the show, they were crying together. And now he turns on Seth Rollins. There was no storyline purpose as to why he turns on Seth. They did it just because they knew they'd get a reaction, which is fine. But why do we have to turn every real-life event into an angle? I understand the show must go on. Roman would probably even say this was okay. I don't care. They should have let the crowd go home happy. And I really think, I think this heel turn was in poor taste. In my opinion.
Okay, and I can understand completely where you're coming from with that. I think, personally, the thing that keeps this thing interesting for me is the fact that Seth and Dean are still Raw Tag Team Champions, and the fact that Dean turned on Seth after they won the title. So it's like this weird sort of feud where, like, now they're enemies, but they're still Tag Team Champions. It's like we haven't gotten that sort of thing since, like, Shawn Michaels feuded with John Cena when they were Raw Tag Team Champions, and then Shawn and John Cena started feuding leading into WrestleMania.
Matt Hardy MVP is a more recent thing that we've seen that.
Yeah, but like that's the one that's fresher in my mind, at least. Yeah. But I think that in alone leaves it more interesting.
And that's a good story, but that they, I mean, next week they're still the Tag Team Champions, and you could still have that story next week when emotions aren't at their height. I don't know. I just feel like there was no reason why they had to do it tonight.
I don't think they had to. They just made the choice to do so, which I think is easy to you can 100% disagree with what they chose to do. And I don't think there's really any bad reasoning as to like why you would disagree. I completely understand. Mm-hmm. I personally feel like they probably, like, at least in my mindset, I think what I want to believe is that, like, Vince or one of the writing team or somebody told Seth and Dean, hey, Dean's going to turn on you tonight in the main event after you win the Raw Tag Team titles, and probably was being like, we could do this next week or we could capitalize on what just happened at the opening of the show. I wouldn't imagine that they would go through with a moment like that without, like, talking with them beforehand.
I think they would.
I would think that's what they did, and I would think Seth and Dean would probably like, and even they might have talked to Roman about it before he left. They probably were like, hey, so we're thinking about doing this. We won't do it if you guys don't want to. We can just wait for next week.
I think you're giving creative way too much credit for caring about what they think.
I am, but at the same time, this is
something
that... I think
Vince went, God, do it, damn it! Look at these there's a little girl crying, wearing a Dean Ambrose shirt. Let's turn him heel.
Yeah.
God damn it, it'll be funny.
I get that, but at the same time, it's like, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I feel like, I don't know, it seems like common human decency, at least, for like, not even like in terms of like, just booking. It just seems like common human indecency before you do something like that to kind of tell somebody.
You know what else?
But at the same time, they didn't tell Roman's dad that he was going to lose the title when Seth cashed in at WrestleMania 31. So you know what? Fuck it. Maybe they just said, let's do it.
You know what else shows human decency? Letting the fans go home happy after they found out their guy has cancer and letting their best friends win the tag titles.
You know what?
I'm just saying, I think it's in poor taste.
I will say, I didn't really have a problem with it. I can understand why people would, but I never really had a problem with it, at least.
I like our debates. They're good. I like going back. I feel like as we do this, we agree on more and more things. We used to always disagree on things, but as you started to see the light, you agree with me more. So it's good that we have something.
Well, this thing, I think I can see the point a lot more. With some of your previous arguments, I can't see what the fuck you're talking about. But for some
people, I didn't like Hell in a Cell because it was bad.
Yeah, I didn't like Hell in a Cell because I watched two matches and I thought they sucked.
Yeah, that's enough reason for me. Oh, sure. I like it.
Sure. But it's not good enough for this podcast. This podcast has a lot more decency than watching two matches.
I watched the entire Raw this week.
There you go. Yes. There you go. Good boy.
Yes.
Now, one thing I wanted to comment on too, because this was something I was really interested about, and I know you mentioned, you were talking about this too when we were going to All In Weekend, because the NWA anniversary show, 70th anniversary show, we had the rematch between Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes for the NWA World title, and Nick Aldis reclaimed his championship.
Yeah.
And Cody Rhodes is no longer the NWA champion. So it kind of does ring a little bit more to what you said at the for our predictions for All In, where you thought that Cody wouldn't be able to carry NWA and like run that, like be the banner holder for that company. You were kind of right about that, because he didn't hold the title for long, and after at their next show he lost the title to Nick. Yeah. So it was very much like they gave him that moment for All In, and they gave that moment for him and his family and
which is
for
cool.
his father, which is awesome. And then he lost it at the next show, which I think kind of wraps it up. Yeah. And also, Nick has proven himself to be a worthy champion for
and
that
now
title.
And I would say he's a 2-time NWA champion.
There you go. So is there anything else that you wanted to comment on that specifically?
Willie Mack won the national title, and Penelope Ford lost to a 50-year-old woman. I think that was questionable. Mm-hmm. The production value of that show was awful. But besides that, the show itself.
I mean, it's still the NWA, right? Like nowadays, so like you kind of still got to be
not,
like.
No, they had people who have done successful that know how to do a wrestling show. A lot of like the ring announcer. Did you watch the show?
I saw bits and pieces.
The ring announcer was like talking over the announcers, and like the announcers were talking through the video packages. It was just shit like that shouldn't have happened. That was kind of just stupid.
Hey, you know what? At least it didn't have Vampiro shitting himself on Mike. It didn't have that. Which I don't know if it made it better or worse. I don't know if it made it better or worse for that show.
I don't know. That killed me. I was not expecting that.
You know what? Vampiro wasn't expecting it either. That's for sure. He wasn't expecting, oh shoot, my poop is coming out my butt. And the mic picked that up. Matt, did you hear that? No, you didn't. I've completely broken Chad right now.
I'm dead.
We needed this. We needed this after this week's news. We needed that laugh.
Keep going. I'll be okay.
No, I... I've never broken you like this before. But
I was genuinely not expecting that reference.
I'm very proud of myself for that.
Okay. I think I'm fine.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
I will say though, if we can bring Vampiro onto every, where's my fucking music?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Where's my music?
Oh man, I'm done. I'm going through the whole Jim Cornette left.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Oh, no. All right. Speaking of shit, let's talk about SmackDown.
Oh God.
real quick. Speaking of shit, that Kurt Angle him talking about the World Cup qualify. Oh. That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton is a hell of an opponent. Rey Mysterio, master of the 619. Mm. Like, yada, 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 yada. I'm not the same guy I was 15 years ago.
You don't say.
But I think I can be for one night. Like, let that motherfucker talk. It's Kurt fucking Angle. He knows how to... Tell him what you want him to say, and he'll say it. He cut promos every... Like, carry on.
It goes back to what we said at the beginning of the show. Like, don't write people's promos.
Your creative team is awful.
And you have amazing fucking talkers. We know Kurt Angle can talk. He had a full-on argument with the crowd.
I'm still thinking about Vampire. Can you imagine if after the horrible announcement, Corey Graves just like, I just pooped myself.
It's just full-on.
I'm a child.
No, it's like, he's just like, and I've been living with leukemia for the past 11 years.
No!
Corey's just like, oh my God, did that pick up?
God damn it.
What has happened? What has happened on this show?
Okay.
This has been an interesting turn.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
No, but yeah, let's talk about SmackDown.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Well, Rey Mysterio is getting into a feud with The Miz.
I'm all about it. It's going to be good.
It's going to
be The show opened with the New Day.
It did open with the New Day. Coming out
and demanding answers for the Bar and the Big Show.
Yeah, what?
And they didn't get him, but instead we got a match between Kofi Kingston and the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like 2009 all over again.
It really did. It felt like I was back in my fucking living
room.
Even
Rey Mysterio and The Miz too. Like, and then Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. Like, you could have knocked me unconscious, and I could have went in a coma and woke up today, and you could show me SmackDown, and I'd be like, ah.
It's like, oh, we're
back. I'm glad, like, what?
I didn't miss anything.
I missed a month, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like, what the fuck? It's like, SmackDown just made a weird fucking transition into this, like, week, and it's just kind of like, and also, I'm sure the crowd didn't know what to expect, especially after the news of what happened. Like, Like, just, like, the fact that it was, like, literally the day after that, and that crowd was going in there being like, all right, let's get ready for SmackDown, but in the back of everybody's head, they remember what they heard at the beginning of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a weird fucking time for WWE. Yeah. You've got that bullshit-ass Crown Jewel show. You've got the World Cup that it features mostly Americans.
To decide who is the best in the world.
Who is the best in the world.
And CM Punk is not in the tournament.
You don't say.
That line was funny.
Yeah.
That was, when Shane McMahon said that, I popped.
Yeah, of course you did. I was all like, oh, I know who the... Well, first of all, I may be a CM Punk mark, but if we're talking best in the world, people who use that term, it's going to be Chris Jericho because he still fucking wrestles. So,
I think it'd be Kenny Omega, Okada.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, in terms of like,
yeah,
great.
People that use that as like
that
their
use
moniker.
That as their moniker. Yes, yeah, okay. It would be Chris Jericho because he's still fucking here and he's still killing it. But also, fuck you for taking a stab at CM Punk again.
Crowd started it. But anyway,
well, so whatever.
Who even won Big Show versus Kofi?
I don't care. It's like. I love the Big Show.
I think it was a no contest.
I think it was, honestly. Let me make sure.
Just who cares? We don't
I don't care,
it.
But at the same time, but let me just make sure, just because I don't want to fucking be like inappropriate and be like, I don't remember what happened.
I mean,
but
I would say that.
Okay, here. So it fucking, nope, it doesn't even say in the Bleacher Report bullshit. Bleacher Report didn't even care.
Listen, me and Bleacher Report are fighting, but that's besides
why
the
is
point.
That?
Oh, well, you have to listen to episode one of the Pistons Pivot, and you can find out why.
Okay, I did listen to part of it. I didn't get to. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm going to. I finish all of our podcasts that I listen to.
Good.
Don't think I'm like a fake Anne Morian.
Anne Morian, that's what we named our. We literally named our fan club that.
Yeah, I know. You did that during the episode.
Oh. Okay. Anyway. So yeah, Big Show and Kofi had a match. It happened, and then Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, who are fighting for the fucking WWE title, teamed up once again to take on the Usos, and once again the match was. Too short to really be worth a damn, and AJ hit Daniel Bryan
with a Pele kick by accident.
Yes, and that's the build. Who gives a fuck? The match itself is going to be awesome. I have no doubt that this match is going to be great. The build up to this match has just been. I think Evolution's getting more build than that.
I feel like they almost thought, well, the crowd's going to love this match no matter what.
Which is
it's
true.
AJ, because it's AJ versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. So why the fuck should we even try?
I'd rather see the Miz AJ at this point.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, like, it's just kind of like...
Miz AJ has Crown Jewel vibes. AJ Daniel Bryan has Survivor Series vibes.
It does.
That's a bigger match.
Yeah, and it's like, for a show that's that shrouded in...
No disrespect to the Miz.
Yeah, no disrespect to the Miz forever, but for whatsoever. But for a show that's surrounded in that much controversy, do we really want to have AJ versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE title be on that show? Right. It would be much better suited for Survivor Series. Yeah. And, like... That's just, yeah. I mean, and also on the on SmackDown, we had Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy in a pretty good match. I really enjoyed the twist of fate that got turned into an RKO.
It was good. Once again, it was one of those things where it's like, they already had their big Hell in a Cell blow off. I'm not sure why they're still feuding.
I feel like SmackDown, this week's SmackDown was very much of, let's just kind of do stuff and I felt like they thought, well, Raw had, like, the biggest fucking moment of all time. Nobody's going to talk about SmackDown this week.
Where's Samoa Joe?
I don't fucking know.
But anyway, yeah, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, it was okay. The best match on the card was Rey Mysterio, Miz. That was actually a pretty solid match.
And then they had the whole feud between, like, all the women in the roster that were fighting over the Battle Royal when, like, Carmella, Zelina Vega, Asuka, yeah. All of them were fighting, and the crowd was dead fucking silent for it.
Yeah.
Because it's the dumbest fucking idea for you to build towards a women's pay-per-view and have it have that. Like, fucking, if Women of Honor can do shit like this better, like, come on.
On the flip side of that, though, the Performance Center brawl with Becky and
that
Charlotte
was
very good. That was fantastic. I loved that. And shout out to Chelsea Green for getting signed to NXT.
Yes!
Fantastic.
Yes!
Well-deserved.
Who else? I know one other guy got signed.
I only know Chelsea Green.
No.
I saw her. I mean, I'm sure there's someone else.
No. I know for sure there was somebody that I remembered, and I knew fucking...
Oh, Punishment Martinez.
Punishment Martinez, yeah. Yes.
Sorry, yeah, Punishment Martinez. Yeah, congrats to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well-deserved.
Fucking well-deserved.
But yeah, the Becky Lynch-Charlotte feud is going to be great. That match is going to be awesome. There's so much build-up to it. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing, too, is that, like... I thought it was really cool to have a brawl at the Performance Center, especially considering
it's
the
something
fact...
different.
Yeah, and also it connects with their story, too, because that's where they got built up. That's where they made a name for themselves and all this kind of stuff, and now they fight there. Okay. it's like Becky's proven herself to be a really great like tweener, and because that's the thing is that the crowd is still 100% behind Becky, but she's proven herself to be a very, very good tweener, and Charlotte's still doing amazing as her babyface self, and I think this match is just going to be really well done for Evolution, probably one of the only highlights of that show.
I agree. And then something else happened. Oh yeah, so there's Aiden English versus Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope this isn't the blow off. Only because I think Aiden English has been entertaining enough to where he deserves more than a squash match.
Oh, yeah.
I've got no problem with Rusev going over, because he should. But I don't know. I just felt like the blow-off to Aiden English-Rusev was kind of lackluster.
And that's the thing. It's like, with WWE, and I've noticed this a lot with them, a lot of times when they have their babyface tag team split up, a lot of times one guy gets completely shuttered in the entire process.
Marty Jannetty.
Marty Jannetty, well, if you want to even be like, here's a fucking ringing endorsement. One of the first examples I saw on WWE TV when I was first becoming a fan was when Crime Time when Crime Time broke apart and like Shad faded into the background while JTG just kind of stayed on TV
a lot
longer.
Well, for a bit, Shad was the guy that wanted to push.
Yeah, no.
They gave Shad trunks and a completely new look.
They did, yeah, and then JTG was still doing.
I don't remember this. Yeah. Like, and then JTG went away for a bit, and then they gave him,
and then he came back on TV, and he was just kind of doing the same old Crime Time thing. Yeah.
And then even he eventually turned heel and did nothing.
Mm-hmm. And then they both left.
Yep.
It's just like,
they're killing on the indies.
Yeah, oh yeah, they are. And like, that's the thing, though, is that like, they do, like, a lot of times with WWE, like, tag teams breaking up, one guy is going to succeed and one guy's going to fucking plummet. Unless it's a specific situation, like with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Well, but, like, I feel like that's because of NXT, though, and their proper usage of that.
Well, and even with that, too, like, I don't know. I have no problem with Rusev going over. He should go over Aiden English and Rusev. Like, Rusev is a phenomenal wrestler, and Aiden English is a very good wrestler, but he's not nowhere near Rusev's level, and Rusev should go over there. But I just think, I think the feud's blow-off was a little bit early. I think it had a little bit more legs to it. And two, I just think, I don't know, I think Aiden English deserves to mount a little bit more offense than what they gave him.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that was it. We've covered everything on SmackDown.
Yeah.
How come we always talk about Raw for like an hour and then we just hotshot SmackDown in like 10 minutes?
Because like SmackDown is like, it's a weird situation because like Raw obviously goes for the moments a lot more while SmackDown tries to build a lot more, but at the same time, sometimes it works for SmackDown, sometimes it doesn't.
You know, now that we're, you know, back in the day, we used to have Grant put up the hour-long mark right when we talk about SmackDown, so I think it's a force of habit of having to just do SmackDown in 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I also make sure that we don't do two separate episodes for Raw and SmackDown, because one's going to be an hour long, one's going to be like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's nothing against SmackDown, but like when you do like long build shows like that where they try to do their long-term storylines, sometimes you're going to have a moment on SmackDown. Sometimes you're just going to get kind of like a nothing show where like AJ and Daniel, they had a miscommunication. Oh. What's going to happen?
Did you see, to talk about SmackDown a little bit longer, I read something that Fox Sports, when that deal takes over, they want SmackDown to be more of a sports-oriented show.
So that's what I heard.
They want the style to be kind of like a New Japan vibe, which, I mean, I'm all about. I think that'd be – I would love it if they focused more on strong style, because you look at that roster, and for the most part, everyone there could probably do it. I mean, Shinsuke and fucking Nakamura and AJ could do it, and Daniel Bryan could do it. But
I think they understand at least – that they know what the market for pro wrestling has, because obviously WWE has the monopoly on sports entertainment.
But pro wrestling belongs to New Japan.
That's the thing, though, is that like pro wrestling belongs to New Japan and Ring of Honor and other independents like scattered around. But like first of all, pro wrestling belongs to the fans, like they've said. But in terms of like who own that style of pro wrestling and who works it the best, it's Ring of Honor and New Japan. I'm sure that Fox is like, well, look at what these guys are doing, and they've got some dedicated fucking fans behind them that tune in on every show, buy pay-per-views. For God's sakes, the U.S. fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling fucking stay up until 3 a.m. to watch their pay-per-views live on New Japan World. So they know how dedicated some hardcore New Japan fans are and how some hardcore Ring of Honor fans. I mean, for God's sakes, All In sold out in less than 30 minutes. So I'm sure they saw that and was like, ooh, hang on, there could be something to this instead of just doing the same old WWE thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an idea. I think it's a matter of whether or not their roster can perform it. And I think there's a good amount of people on that roster who can. But at the same time, what's going to happen with the rest of the roster who aren't able to adapt to this style. Mm-hmm. And it's more so of the fact of, like, I do think it helps separate each brand. I think it gives the brands a lot more identity comparatively in terms of how they differ, instead of just having them each have different rosters, but the show is relatively the same, except one is 3 hours, one is 2 hours. And, like, I think that helps separate them a lot more, but at the same time, it's just a matter of making sure, because you also got to make sure that these wrestlers know how to perform that style safely, because that's still it's a tough thing to perform. And, like, there's guys that can do it fucking incredibly, but they beat the shit out of each other.
Maybe, maybe move the Miz to Raw.
Well, we've already known that Miz has never in his career been injured because he wrestles that WWE style. So I think Miz might, if they do go through with that, Miz should probably go to Raw. Just to make sure that he can continue to do the style that he's comfortable at and good at, so that way he doesn't get hurt. Because for somebody who hasn't been injured in his career, and then they automatically go, let's do the style that got Daniel Bryan injured and all that kind of stuff. It's a weird concept. And it's like, I can understand where they're coming from, 100%. But, like, even in terms of, like, the decision to do so, I'm still not 100% sure if they should go through with it. I think the fans would really enjoy it, and I think they'd be like, yes, do more stuff like this. I think if they do it, like, I think what they should do is, like, what I want Fox to think of is, like, they see NXT and how NXT puts together their shows, and I want them to be like, that's how we want your shows
that's
to be
how,
like.
Honestly,
if they do it like NXT does,
yeah,
fucking yes.
Honestly, that's what they should be doing.
That's what they should be doing.
But, I mean, to be fair, the entire WWE should see how NXT is run and go, we should do that.
Because
even 205 Live runs the way NXT does now, and 205 is a lot more watchable.
205 Live has improved drastically since I didn't watch, and, like, it's given me a reason to watch.
Yeah.
And, like, now they have NXT UK, too, that's already doing stuff.
Ooh, what'd you think of the first episode?
I liked it. I thought it was really... I love the atmosphere.
Yeah,
I really do.
It was a fun show.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun little good first episode.
I had not watched episode 2 yet, but episode 1.
I did watch episode 1. I haven't gotten around to episode 2. There's just too much fucking wrestling that I have to keep up with.
Funny how, like, the first match features the Coffee, like the Coffee Brothers,
uh-huh.
And then Mustache Mountain comes out and goes, there's really no other tag team in NXT UK. And I'm like, The Coffee Brothers literally were the first people to fucking walk out the show.
Like, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the talent on this roster. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of good matches that can be put together.
Noam Dar, Pete Dunne was a really good match.
That was really good. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, like, I've been so happy to see Noam Dar have a good match because I've watched him in WCPW or Defiant, and, like, man,
Noam Dar's the man.
He is the man, man. And it's like, I was so disappointed when he got thrown in with the
Alicia Fox gimmick.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like, it's good to see him have a good match. And fucking Pete Dunne is the goddamn man.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, hell yeah, he is.
Yeah, so I thought NXT, I'm excited to continue to watch NXT UK. And it's like, it gives me something to be like with, like, some of the, with Crown Jewel. And
do you think NXT Japan is next?
You know what? That's something I could see them doing.
Yeah.
Buying out
all the Pro Wrestling Noah and All Japan boys.
But the thing is, though, if they were to do, they would have to focus on only Japanese wrestlers, not just like the Japanese like wrestlers that are in Japan, like pure like you are from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. And that's the thing too, is that WWE's got to remember that not all of New Japan's talent, not all Pro Wrestling Noah's talent are from Japan. It's like, you got to be like, these guys, there's a lot of guys who aren't from Japan.
On top of that, too, you'd have to find a way to get promos still across.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, too, is that, like, the language barrier would be... Because with NXT UK, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's English. So, like, with Japan, I think it would be a lot more difficult, especially for the casual fans.
It would
be
a lot of Hideo Itami.
It would be a lot of Hideo Itami, yeah. I think we won't see that. At least not for a very long time. I don't know if there's any other... Well, the only one I could possibly see would be like NXT Mexico, where like we see a lot more like lucha style wrestling.
That'd be a good one, yeah.
I think that would be something like, and then that could be a little pissing contest they could do with Lucha Underground possibly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know if there's. I think they're gonna stick with NXT UK at least for now, and then we'll possibly see if they decide to do anything else like that. I could see them doing more tournaments like that.
Yeah.
Because they definitely have that tournament style that they've got, understandably so. With how they did the Mae Young Classic, how they did, how they're doing that, how they did the NXT UK tournament. So I think they could do more tournaments, but it's just going to be like interesting to see like what exactly they do with the talent.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think that's everything that happened in wrestling.
And it's a fucking lot, I will say. And it's like it's just a weird fucking time. It's like it's like so much shit that's going on. It's like you got Evolution being kind of a downer, you got Crown Jewel still being stupid as fuck. And then you got the whole Roman Reigns situation, which again, hopefully we will see Roman back in the ring soon. And it's just kind of like an interesting fucking time to be a wrestling fan. So like, I mean, like that's just, it's still weird. It's like you don't, it's like half of this shit. Like if you would have told me like last year that we would be talking about an all women's pay-per-view, a show in Saudi Arabia that's being put on the back, well, being like in a will they, won't they go their situation because of the death of an American journalist. Yeah. And then also Roman Reigns getting fucking cancer. Like, if you would have told me that's what we were talking about in the next year, I would have been like,
I hope not.
Yeah, I would have been like, where did you pull those stories out of your ass? Like, what have you been reading on Kayfabe News mm-hmm. or something like that? But even Kayfabe News wouldn't come up with a Roman Reigns story like that.
Yeah.
This is like something like wild and like you would never fucking expect. But like, I don't know. I remain stubbornly optimistic, as I always do.
And that's... I remain perfectly pessimistic.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see exactly how these next few weeks in WWE go, because I think these next few weeks are going to be really telling for the future, at least for WWE, especially with the Crown Jewel and Evolution show. No matter, I'm hoping at least with how like disappointing this card looks, that they blow it out of the water.
Me too. I hope it's a banger.
Yeah, and I think that with some of the matches on there, there can be room for a lot of fucking good shit. But we'll have to see what they do. I hope that WWE finally gets their heads out of their asses and like just put the Crown Jewel in New York or somewhere. I don't care.
Or
just
Soaring Eagle Casino.
Soaring Eagle Casino. Bring the Crown Jewel event to Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
You know, I know a studio. It's
yeah.
an illustrious studio.
It's yeah.
And I know and we're big enough. I mean, this place is huge.
Oh yeah.
Like, we could easily fit Crown Jewel at Amore Media Studios.
Yeah, but this
I'm
at
just
least,
leaving that out there.
You can at least fit two wrestling rings in this place.
Oh at
we
least.
Could do a like a war game style thing
and,
here.
And we have like a hot tub in the corner where people bring us martinis and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so hit us up. We'll get
we'll
stuff figured out.
It.
Yeah, no, we will. We'll be good. I can replace Michael on
commentary. As long as I can book it.
Yeah, I'll replace Michael on commentary. It's like, that's all I need.
And I will too, and I'll go...
Somebody, where's my fucking music? You're still not okay.
Plug
you're still
shit.
Not okay. Okay, yep, let's... You plug our shit.
Stop it.
Plug our shit.
I knew you were going to say that. God damn it.
With that wonderful note, we want to thank you guys so much for joining us on this incredibly interesting episode of Pinned to Pro Wrestling Podcast. If this is your first episode of Pinned, I'm really sorry. This
I'm
is
not.
This is just kind of like a fucking interesting episode to start with if this is your first time. But for
how
all of you...
How long is this? Grant, how long is this?
An hour and 2 minutes.
Hour and 2 minutes. I thought it was way longer.
Yeah, it felt longer.
Like I felt longer. I thought we were going on like 2 hours, but
no, I didn't think we were going that. I thought at least an hour and a half, though. But either ways, that's besides the point. We want to thank you guys so much for listening, and we want to thank you guys so much for supporting us. If you want to support us even more, you be sure to follow us on social media on Twitter. You can follow us at Pinned Podcast. Me personally, you can follow me at SZoomer4. You can follow Chad.
At the Chad 100.
And you can support all of us on And More Media and And More Media Co. by following all of us on social at And More Media Co. on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Be sure to head to our website, andmore.media, where you can check out all of our podcasts, the Outlast podcast, the brand new Pistons Pivot, which is really interesting to listen to, especially for me, a Pistons fan, which I'm sure I'll be on there soon, considering the fact that Blake Griffin scored 50.
We're recording.
Points.
We're literally, as soon as this is done, Grant's sitting here and we're recording it right after this. So.
Yeah, I expect to hear.
If you want
to
stick around.
I probably won't be able to for this one, but I am very interesting to hear you guys talk about that. Obviously, don't forget to listen to Groupies. I was most recently on one of the newest episodes of Groupies talking about the 21 Pilots Trench album.
Which was trash.
Motherfucker.
I'm just kidding.
You liked it. You listened to the leak.
I did. I listened to the leak when it got leaked.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, be sure to go ahead and listen to that. Be sure to listen to our good buddies Conspiracy Club. And, yeah, just be sure to support all of us here at And More Media Co. as brand new shows come out as soon as they possibly can. We are very excited to be continuing to make great content for you. And thank you guys so much for sticking with us. But yeah, I think that'll wrap it up for us. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Have a WrestleTastic day.
I'm going to fucking kill you.